If you're a parent, you would count your children among the very best things God has given you. Jesus feels the same way. Welcome to Right Start with Jim Custer, teaching pastor of Grace Polaris Church in Columbus, Ohio. Of all the gifts that God the Father gave to God the Son, and Jim will name some tremendous ones, his best gifts were people. After all, that was the purpose of the mission, spiritual sons and daughters. We see this several places in the Word of God, but maybe most clearly in Jesus' prayer in the upper room. Here's Pastor Jim.
The predominant characteristic of our Heavenly Father, He's a giver. He's a giver. You go down through these verses and note the 13 times that He is referenced as a giver, and you will discover some incredible things. You'll discover that He is absolutely in charge of all things, and He was able, therefore, to give authority to the Son over all flesh, over all people. You discover that He gave the very words He wanted the Son to communicate. You discover that He outlined, predicted through the prophets, the work that the Son would do. You'll find that He gave glory to the Son, restoring Him back to that place that He had had before the world began, where the Father and the Son were co-equal in the manifestation of the glory that was theirs. But the most intriguing use of this phrase is the one you see there in verse 6. Look at it again. I have manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world. Jesus Christ is understanding and saying here that every believer is a gift bestowed by God the Father to God the Son. Jesus says, they were yours. You gave them to me. Your value and my value is that we are owned by God, known by God, created in His image, with all the marvelous potential to become like Him, to know Him, to enjoy Him forever. The great tragedy is that we are a fallen race. We do not want to know God. We have rebelled against Him, and each of us want to do our own thing. We want to control our own destiny. We want to be our own God. But we find ourselves deeply mired in our humanness, our frailty, and in what Jesus called the world. 19 times in this chapter, Jesus references the world. That's the organized system around us that's built upon the philosophy and premise that man is sufficient in himself. It's the philosophy that everything that exists, exists for me. And if I scrap hard enough, and if I compete hard enough, and if I work hard enough, and if I take whatever measures are necessary, I can have my share and own my share of that world, and I can rule in that little sphere, that little dynasty, and I can make others serve me, and I can force the circumstances of life to be pleasant to me, and I can rule in that segment of the world. Won't work. There's already a God of the world, and He is already in control, and He's much wiser and much more subtle than you. And above Him, there is a supreme God who created the world, and He's the one who ultimately owns it. He has allowed Satan to manage it for reasons that are partially revealed in His Word, but that management is short term. They were yours. Jesus Christ begins His report to the Father by recognizing that every man, woman, boy, and girl, every person today or in the past or in the future who is human belongs to God. Ezekiel tried to impress that upon us. Same message when he quoted God as saying, all souls are mine. There is no accidental birth. There is no person born into this world outside the creatorship of God. And Jesus says that of all of those who are in the world that God owns, God chose to take certain ones and pluck them and give them as a gift to his son. The Bible tells us that choice was made by God as a free and uncompromised expression of his own infinite sovereignty. That you have nothing to do with that choice, and I have nothing to do with that choice. We can't dictate or change it. It's settled forever in the eternal counsels of God, and that choice was made before the earth even was created. We are not generally a worshiping people in our culture because we're so impressed with ourselves. And we have dumbed God down and diminished his glory. Here's the place where you can begin. Recognize that every person born, including yourself, belongs to God. You will answer to him. I will answer to him. And that God sovereignly, out of his own purposes and wisdom, has chosen some to belong to his son, to have a relationship with his son. He describes that relationship up there in verse 2, as you have given him, Jesus, authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is life eternal, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. So when Jesus is praying to the Father and he recognizes that God the Father has selected individuals from the multitudes that heard him speak, from those who saw his miracles, from those who ate the bread miraculously created, from all of the displays, all of the teachings, God was busy in the multitudes. And that God selected and gave to the Lord Jesus Christ a number of people. They were God the Father's gift to God the Son. Jesus is grateful for that. And those who were given will be eternally blessed by that gift. Now, why stress that this morning? Well, first of all, because God stresses it. Our task today is to provide an invitation from the Almighty, the God who holds your life in his hand, the God who chose whether you would have the color hair, the color eyes, the height, stature, that God who made you, put you together, made you unique, that God who owns you and controls everything that affects you. That God says that he will give eternal life to whoever will believe. That God also says, don't tamper with the invitation. That God also knows that because you and I are sinners and surrounded by a deceptive world, most of us are not going to respond. As a matter of fact, he even says in some passages that at the human level, you're not able to respond, that you're dead. So when you hear the gospel or when you learn of God's grace, don't be arrogant. And when God speaks to your heart, don't resist him. Don't think that salvation is something as trifling as buying a bicycle or owning a new car or purchasing life insurance. It's not that simple. The Son, talking to the Father, is so thrilled to know that as he ministered for 3.5 years, God the Father faithfully gave some individuals to God the Son as a result of his ministry. Now, Jesus is giving a report to the Father about the things that he did. He had said earlier, verse 4, I've glorified you on the earth. That's what he said. I have sought here on earth and all that I've done and said to magnify you, to let people see you, to let people get to know something about your heart, the true God. I have represented you. I have said the best that can be said about you. I have also told them the truth about you. I have let the people know. And as I've let the people know, you have chosen some and moved upon their hearts, and they have responded. And they are now mine. He says, I finished the work you gave me to do. He's reporting to God the Father. Then he says in verse 6, I have manifest your name to those whom you've given to me. The name of God stands as to his character. You remember Matthew said, we called his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. The name defined the character of Jesus, Emmanuel. The name of God, Jesus, told, taught, showed, enjoyed, demonstrated. So precisely that when he finished his work, he could say to the disciples, he that has seen me has seen the Father. I have manifested your name. In other words, Father, in the 3.5 years I've been here, my target has been to live in such a way that people who watch and listen to me will understand who you are and what's important to you. They will know your ways and they will understand your will. And he says that that handful that God had given to him, he says, they have responded. See it there? It says, they have kept your word. They responded to the word that Jesus Christ spoke as Jesus Christ spoke to them of God the Father and God the Father's love and his plan and his righteousness and his holiness and his mercy and his grace. They have kept the word. The word to keep there means to treasure. It means to observe. It means to value by obey. And Jesus said that these folks had distinguished themselves by their response to the word he had spoken. Just a verse or two later, verse 8, I have given to them the words which you gave me. They have received them. They responded to the words Jesus spoke. They were by far in the minority. The vast multitudes didn't respond to the Lord Jesus Christ, didn't receive his words. Instead, they rebuked them, they rejected them, they resisted them, they mocked him. They were not willing to receive. But in the hearts of that group that God the Father had given to God the Son, there was a response. There was a reception. He goes on to say, they have known surely that I came forth from you, and they have believed that you sent me. They have come to a place in their understanding and faith, Father, where they are confident that I am sent from heaven to earth by you. Lots of people talk about God, but they want nothing to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. Can't have it that way. That won't work. The only path we have to know God and the only words by which we may know Him intimately and experience Him is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus was persuaded that His disciples had come to the confidence that Jesus truly is the Messiah. He's the one sent from God. And they had responded to Him as one sent from the Father, one here at the Father's command to do the Father's will. Look what Jesus says at the end of verse 10. He says, I am glorified in them. What would happen in the lives of those believers, those who received the Word of God, those who received and responded to the truth that Jesus spoke, would affect the glory of Jesus Christ in heaven? That's an awesome thought. And He was very concerned. The Lord Jesus Christ was very concerned about this. So He carries over in His prayer from reporting to the Father about His finished work here on earth to praying for those whom He would leave behind. Do you this morning have the inner confidence and peace that you are God's gift to His Son? How would you know that? Receiving the Word, obeying the Word, keeping the Word. Our Heavenly Father, I thank You this morning that the Lord Jesus Christ desires to glorify Himself in the work of redemption. We are important to Him. Beyond His death for us and beyond His resurrection and His ascension, He has identified Himself with us so that our welfare, our growth, brings Him glory or shame. I thank You this morning that Your heart is the heart of a giver. I thank You that You, who own all things, are gracious and kind. I thank You this morning for calling individuals to faith in Jesus, through faith in Jesus Christ, for calling them into a relationship with You. I thank You that You do that individually, by name. I thank You for that number of folk who have received the word of the Lord Jesus and are responding in obedience to Him, who have separated themselves from the world and its pleasures and are pursuing righteousness and things that please You. This passage tells us, Lord Jesus, that that's the thing that gives You pleasure. Your head's bowed and your eyes closed this morning. Christian friend, the one gift you can give back to the Lord Jesus Christ that contributes to His glory, His pleasure, is the gift of obeying His word. If you want to return to God the Father, if you want to return to Him an expression of appreciation for His call upon your life and His gift of eternal life, the way He wants you to do that is to receive and to respond to the word of the Lord Jesus Christ and thereby glorify Jesus. Become like Jesus. I certainly don't know your heart this morning. I have enough to do to know my own heart. But You know your heart this morning. Can you distinguish between a mere religious performance, doing things because we sense we have to? Can you distinguish between that and the response of a loving heart, devoted to the Lord Jesus, determined to follow His Spirit and to become like Him. If this morning you do not know Jesus Christ personally, then you cannot know the Father intimately. If you will respond by obeying, receiving His word, He will give to you the gift of eternal life. And if you are uncertain about your relationship with Him this morning, your best choice would be to obey what you know from Scripture to be God's will. And that will take you to the Lord Jesus Christ, and He has promised to give everlasting life. Thank you, Father, that we're not worshiping the Wizard of Oz this morning, but we are coming to one who is the fountain and foundation of all things. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for being willing to come into the world to give us the word, truth, to reveal the Father to us through His name and actions, to call us from the world to become Christ-like, Christ followers. We worship You this morning, Father, because You own all things, and out of Your infinite grace and mercy, You have chosen to give eternal life to those who respond to Your word. I pray this morning for that one here who is uncertain about his or her relationship with You, or those who are careless and cavalier about the eternal welfare of their soul. I pray that by Your Spirit You would sober us and draw us to the Lord Jesus. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ make us worthy gifts to God the Son, and a source of great pleasure to God the Father, today and through eternity. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Children are a heritage from the Lord, offspring a reward from Him. Solomon was right about that. And Jesus is grateful for His spiritual children, including you and me. Pastor Jim has called this message a gift for the one who has everything, and we heard the opening on Friday and the conclusion just now. If you'd like to own a CD of the entire message, we'll send it to you for a gift of $7 or more. It's one of the sermons you'll get in the collection How to Live Effectively, Volume 2. Those 12 talks are available on CD for an offering of $42 or more. Team Right Start, you are amazing. Some of you have been with us for decades through all kinds of economic and social disruptions. Thanks for praying and giving so that others can hear the Word of God. If the Lord lays it on your heart to help us, please mail us at Right Start, P.O. Box 437, Worthington, Ohio, 43085 USA, or call during business hours 1-800-984-2313. That's 800-984-2313. And visit us on the website too, rightstartradio.org. Not only can you donate to the ministry there, but there's actually more ministry available to you, like years worth, and it's free. You can play present and past radio programs from the site, or play or download Jim's original sermons without broadcast interruptions. And you can route future programs directly to your phone when you subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. Just go to that website, rightstartradio.org. Thanks for listening. I'm Dan Pope. As we've heard Jesus praying in John 17, you may have noticed Him talking about things that are kept. We'll look at that idea next time. On Tuesday and always, you're invited to join us for another Right Start.